Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
Say that. Because see, he's given you, the authority to speak in his behalf. He said, you speak to the mountain. You cast the mountain into the sea. If you'll believe with your heart and not doubt in your mind, believe in your heart and not doubt, guess what? You speak to that mountain and you command it to be thrown into the sea. You cannot doubt in your heart. He says, he will break up the waters. You know, as we were singing the song the first time in my mind, I saw, y'all can be seated. Thank you, worship team. I saw this image that Marsha and I, when we were in Italy a few years back, we were at the Vatican. We went through to see some of the sites. When we were there, one of the most famous probably works of art that I've ever encountered was the Michelangelo's in the Sistine Chapel about creation. And it has a hand sticking out there, you know, y'all probably seen it, of God, and it was touching the hand of Adam. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There was a separation, there was a gulf between them, but the fingers touched. And when that happens, life comes. And that's basically what was being represented. As I was there looking up at that ceiling, I was just overwhelmed because, see, when God touches your life, when he touches you, life does begin. And there's no turning back. I mean, really, you just continue to go. And as we were singing that song, I couldn't help but think of the different things that we sang about breakthroughs. And, you know, we don't have just one breakthrough in life. You know, we have many breakthroughs in life. How many know that David didn't stop after he killed the bear with his hands or with sling or knife or whatever he may have killed it with? He said that he killed the bear. You know, there was another one that came along called a lion. Another breakthrough he needed, right? And then there was the giant. There was another breakthrough. Then there was the breakthrough he needed to keep his life because Saul was trying to kill him. It's just one breakthrough after another, after another, after another. Even his own son attempted to kill him. Absalom wanted to take his life. It was breakthroughs continually through his life. And the same is going to be true in you and I, but most people think that when, you know, well, give my life to the Lord, guess what's going to happen? It'll be easy street. I'll never have another need the rest of my life. Well, I don't see that in chapter and verse. It's not in my Bible. He said that he'd never leave you nor forsake you. But he never said that you'd never have another problem. But you know, we can look at it and say another problem, but we can look at it for what it really is, which is another opportunity to see God perform a miracle in my behalf. On my behalf. Amen? You know, what is a miracle? Is not a miracle the intervention of the realm of the Spirit imposing upon the realm of this natural realm? I mean, is it not a miracle just the laws of this realm, the physical realm, being superseded by the laws of the Spirit of life? That's what it is. And it doesn't make any difference whether it was a healing taking place in your body or the multiplication of food. It's something that superseded the laws that were there. And this morning I want to talk a little bit about that very thing. I do know where I want to go. We'll be going there because I know that's what Holy Spirit wants, but how we're going to get there might be another story. I'm not real sure about that. Amen? So why don't we just go ahead and let's pray before I forget to do so. Lord, I thank you that you've given us all ears to hear. And Lord, I thank you that we'll take those ears that you've given us, the ears of our spirit man, and we will listen to your words this morning. Not words from a preacher, but a word from you, Lord. Speak to our hearts, make it plain, make it simple so that we can understand, so that we can be doers of that word and not somebody that just heard it. Lord, let it reside in our heart. Let it just reverberate there continually, not just today, but all week long and through the month until we get it down into our spirit. Recognize it as truth and embrace it so that life, your life, can continually flow through us in a continual basis. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was ministering on the living in the realm of the Spirit. And, you know, we talked about Jacob's life and how he had need, and what he had need of didn't exist in this realm, so he had to get it from the realm of the Spirit. And, you know, and I made mention that God created us to live in the realm of the Spirit. He never created us as being a natural being to live in the natural realm. We were always created, designed from the very beginning to live in the realm of the Spirit. And if we'll just take the time to really stop and think about that, we could just, how many of you believe that when you are finished living here upon this life, in this realm here, that you go on to eternity in a different way? Does anybody here besides me believe that? Everybody here does. That's why you're here. You believe in the realm of the Spirit. But we want to live most of our life pertaining to this realm instead of the realm that we're really of. We don't really think about this realm, the spirit realm, hardly ever. Maybe for an hour or so at church, or when somebody's talking about a miracle or something that you read in or heard on TV, a miracle that God had performed. Most of the time, people live their life based upon their five physical senses, which is in constant contact with this physical realm. And because we're in constantly contact with this physical realm, then we take on the perspective of this physical realm. Kind of like watching television. Some people are watching the news, and I've seen my share of it, of this whole thing with our president having a phone call with the president of the Ukraine. And you can watch it on one station and get a perspective of what they have you to say and to believe, what they want you to believe. And you can flip over one station farther and get a different perspective of what they want you to believe. And it's all based upon their vision, their perspective, their lenses, so to say, that they see through. How they see things, they want to project it upon you. And that's because we live in this natural world, and if we're not careful, we'll let the world that's around us dictate to us how we see things. Yet we're not even created to live by this world, but created and designed to live in the realm of the Spirit. And the Spirit will always supersede the laws of this planet. But we become so in tune to these laws. Adam wasn't created to live according to this law. Matter of fact, this whole earth was created to live according to the realm of the Spirit. I mean, if you know, there wasn't any death and corruption on this planet until he sinned. And God told him, says, if anything gets out of line, you put it back in line. Why? Because you're a spirit being, you have authority, go do it. Put it back in order. And so Adam actually had to learn defeat. He had to learn sickness. He had to learn what death is. Took him 900 years to learn that. But once people learn failure, poverty, sickness, shame, defeat, these things, they have to learn the laws of spirit of life. They have to denounce and walk away and look at something different. And whatever they embrace is what they'll become. When you gave Jesus your life, it's because you embraced him over the things of this world. Up until that point, you embraced the things of this world, whether you liked them or not. That's where you were. And so that's what you embraced. And when you heard the gospel, the good news, then you said, you know what? I choose to believe this. And you embrace it. And you'll embrace it to a degree. Anyway, I made this mention that many people live in the believe in the spirit realm, but they continue to live in the natural realm. How many of you know that most people, like I said before, live according to their five physical senses? So whatever they see, whatever they hear, whatever they taste, smell, and feel, that is what they believe in. A few weeks back, I made mention of Thomas, the apostle, the one that doubted the resurrection, and he said to him what? When they all came back and they all told him, said, look, Jesus is risen from the dead. And what the two men from Emmaus was talking about it. And Mary and Martha and all those who went to the tomb were coming back and talking about it. Thomas hadn't seen him. And he says, I will not believe unless I can see him with my own eyes and touch him, thrust my hand into his side. Thomas was living according to what? The realm of the natural. According to the five physical senses. He had walked with Jesus for 3 years. He heard Jesus speak to every single day. He handled Jesus. He partook of the miracles of Jesus. He ate the food that Jesus provided. He was sent out by Jesus with a command to go heal the sick and went and did it. But when it came to this particular thing, the resurrection, he said, I won't believe that. I'm going to go by my five physical senses instead of what the Spirit said. Yes, I know he said he was going to come back. Yes, I know he said he was going to die and be resurrected. But until I see it with my own physical eyes, I'll not believe it. And many people, Christians, still live their life that way. And I would dare say that everybody in this room has at one time or another and probably will again. And you'll have to correct yourself. I do. I'll look at something and I'll be like, wow, man, I got to this, it, and this. Wait a minute. Whoa. We live in a realm of the Spirit. I'm a spirit being. I'm not this flesh. I'm not going to rule my life based upon this, the laws that governs this planet. Adam had to learn to live by the laws of this planet. Are you hearing me? And just because people live their lives based on their senses, I did it for many years, you may do, I still do at times, and I have to catch myself, does not change the fact that we're living in a spirit dimension. I said before that most of us think about the world and the universe and all being so ginormous and just huge, massive expansion, but it is really a small thing compared to eternity, compared to the realm of the Spirit. And we look at those things, though, as it's huge, but when, and then we'll think of the spirit realm as something that we can put in a little box over here to the side. And that's because it's in a little box in our mind. Just because it's in a little box in our mind doesn't make it the way it really is. Yet we all know and believe with all of our heart that we're going to one day lay this body down and enter into this spirit realm, wherever it may be. Okay? And it coexists already with us. It's amazing to really stop back and think about the fact that this physical natural realm that we're living in right now, even this fallen place called planet Earth, it is coexisting at the same time in history of eternity. It's coexisting and it intermingles with the realm of the Spirit. And after it takes place, it'll never happen again like this. It's just a small time frame. If we closed our eyes and thought, let's go back in eternity, how far back could you go? There's no end to it. And if we say, well, let's look going the other direction, if you look past heaven, I mean, earth here as we know it, into the future, what the Bible says, and kept going, there is no end to eternity that way. So the time frame of these few thousands of years, I don't care if you say millions of years, what's a million years compared to eternity? A blink of an eye. Not even that. It's immeasurable. It doesn't even mean anything in the big picture. You follow me? Yet during this little speck of time, God said, I'm going to allow each one of you. I'm inviting you to bring the spirit realm to planet Earth and let it manifest here on planet Earth. He's chosen us to be the conduits to do that. We're it. And it'll never happen again in history like this. And eternity is a very long time to wonder what it could have been like. I'll say that again. Eternity is a very long time to wonder what it would have been like to actually do what God's called us to do. So when we're looking at the realm of the Spirit and we start thinking about it, we understand that the spirit realm is coexisting at the same time as the natural realm is, and that this little time frame that we have here is but just a small, small thing. We learn in science that this physical realm that we live in, there's laws in this universe that govern this universe. All of that being natural laws. And they govern this universe. How many of you are familiar with the law of gravity? Yep, some of you fell out of the bed this morning, did you not? And we know these laws exist. Now, we didn't know what to call it, but we knew that we didn't do like birds and just float around and clouds and stuff. We saw that there's the laws of gravity. And how many of you know that the laws of gravity work for children just like they do for adults? They go to stand up to try to walk and they fall right back down. As you get older, guess what happens? That same law is still taking effect. Just easier sometimes than others. You don't have to understand how this law works, but it still works, doesn't it? Does anybody not believe in it working? You know, even if you jumped off a cliff saying, I don't believe in gravity, you'll believe before you hit the ground. How many of you know there's no unbelievers in hell today? They all believe now. There's other laws that govern our planet. One of them being the law of electricity. There's laws pertaining to electricity. And, those were really helpful to me in learning and studying and to understand the laws of the spirit realm, because you can't really see electricity. You can see the effects of electricity, but you can't see it. And the wildest thing is just because you can't see it doesn't mean you can't feel it. Because you can surely feel it. I felt it many times. Never saw it coming. But I sure felt it. And you could say, well, I don't see any electricity. I said, well, just put your hand on it, you'll feel it. You'll be a believer in a minute. But there's laws that govern electricity. And you know what? You do not have to understand the laws of electricity for it to work in your life. You can say, well, I just don't even know how to spell electricity. You can still use it. All it requires is for you to understand that if you'll flip the toggle on that switch, lights will come on. Things will operate. So you can use that electricity, although you don't understand anything about it. You can use the laws pertaining to electricity that govern the whole, all of it, the power there, but yet you don't understand, you don't know anything, but you can use it for your benefit. There's laws in the spirit realm that we need to understand that operate and supersede even those laws. But if we don't understand it, we never begin to think about it, then we'll just live our life right here in one spot, and that's as far as it'll ever go. But yet it doesn't mean that the laws of electricity didn't exist. How many of you know that they existed not since the light bulb was invented? They existed from the beginning when God created the earth. The laws of electricity have been here. But we've not been able to harness the power of it until the last century and a half. That's when we began to utilize these laws to our benefit. That's why we can be cool when it's hot, except in Alabama in September. We can have lights on, amplify our voices, see our iPads, use all kind of electricity in our cars. We use electricity everywhere, but yet you can't see any of it. How do you know it really exists? You don't see it because you see the effects of it. That's all you can do is see the effects of it. Yet we'll think about the laws pertaining to the spirit realm. We say, well, we can't see those. Well, does that mean they don't exist either? But if we'll learn, just like an electrician will, He'll learn about the laws of electricity. He can utilize those laws to produce good. And if we will understand that there's laws in the realm of the Spirit that pertain to us in our lives, we can do something with those laws so that the Spirit realm can manifest here in the natural. Now, think about it one more time. Electricity is not something that's new. It's just new to us. But it's been here all along, just like gravity has. So the laws pertaining to the spirit realm have been here all along. They're not changed. But we don't use them. Most of us don't even know about them. Adam knew about them. They were there. But over the process of time, we've become so natural-minded that we don't understand, and we call the things of the spirit realm foolishness. Because we know better. We're smarter. We don't have need of it. We can go to a doctor. We can go borrow the money at the bank. We can get what we want by natural means, when the supernatural was always there. Jesus came showing and revealing everywhere he went the realm of the Spirit, which is the Father. Revealed it. This is what life looks like. Quit living in this death. This is what life looks like. And we get to make that choice, which one we choose to live in. How many of you ever felt electricity before besides me? Is that when you believed that it was real? Let me ask you, did you see it? Was it there before you felt it, or was it just, did it just show up when you touched it? It was there all along, was it not? So we all can agree that there's laws in operation whether we understand them or not. These laws exist. And when I first started dealing with electricity, I didn't understand anything really about electricity. All I knew is I didn't want to get shocked. But I learned that there were laws pertaining to electricity, and I wanted to learn them well. And one of those laws is about conductivity. What will conduct electricity and what will not conduct electricity? In other words, what's an insulator? You got conductors and non-conductors. And so which one would be a conductor? Well, most of us all in here would say, well, there's metals will do it, you know, gold being the best, but it's not, because the heat will melt it quicker. Silver is actually the best conductor of electricity. That's why they used it when they did all the wiring for the atomic bombs. They used silver because it was the best. Then there would be copper and aluminum. So these metals here conduct electricity, is able for electricity to flow through it like a conduit. And we say metals are it. Well, how many of you know water can do it too? Oh, yeah. Water can do it too. But see, there's other laws pertaining to electricity as well. One of them is called the resistance, the law of resistance with electricity. There's a resistance there. Then if it has to flow through something, it breaks down the power. It slows it down. Like, you can be running here on land, and you can run pretty fast, but then when you try to do that same amount of running in the water waist deep, you don't go as fast. You know what I'm saying? There's a resistance. You're still moving, but not the same. So there's laws there pertaining to this energy. And in electricity, it's the same way. You got all these little laws, and one of the laws is called an insulator, you know, which is non-conductor. It's a non-conductor, and you can say, well, wood is a good insulator, and it is unless it's still green. Because if it's green, it's still got moisture in it. If it's got moisture, it's still conductive, okay? So you don't want to take a green branch and stick it on a hot fence, a hot wire. It won't be wise. I've done it just to see if it would do it. You will be shocked. So there's those laws here that govern electricity And there's things, like I said before, insulators. And those insulators will insulate you from that power that's there. And you know what they are, most of them? Most of it is man-made things that we use, like plastics. Plastic is a real good insulator. You can have plastic on, you know, gloves or plastic on the end of your screwdriver and all these things. And although it's a metal tip on that screwdriver, as long as you don't touch the metal tip while you're turning it, you'll be okay. We have fiberglass ladders. Why? Because you won't get shocked if you're on the fiberglass ladder by the power side. Now, the neutral side will still make your teeth chatter. But the power side, the hot side, what people call, it won't affect you as long as you're not touching any other metal. You can just hold it in your hand. It won't. That's why birds can sit on a power line and it doesn't bother them. They just fly off. Let them put one foot on each and you'll see them. They'll be like crispy chicken, you know. They'll be gone off. There'll be no more. So there's laws that govern such power as that. And if we'll understand those laws, we can use those very laws of this natural realm for our benefit. How many of you know that too many times we're that resistance to God? Too many times we're here, we are to be the conductors, the conduit for the power of God to flow to this earth, yet we find ourselves as being the resistance. And the resistance is because we don't understand these laws, that we don't understand what's really taking place. There's also things such as in your home that if you were in your house and you went over to turn the dishwasher on and you did all the stuff, you mashed all the buttons and it still didn't come on, you'd say, what? The power must be off. And you say, well, the breaker's tripped or something like that. First place you ought to look is up, not towards heaven. Right above there, right above the dishwasher, is a switch there. It's a safety mechanism so that you can work on it. There's a disconnect. That's what a switch is. It disconnects the power. So if you're working on it, you're not going to get shocked by somebody that goes back in there and flips the breaker back on. You got vision right there of that switch. When the switch, though, there above the dishwasher works just like the breaker because it disconnects the power from going any further. It stops it from flowing to where you are. And too many times we disconnect from God, stopping the power to flow through our lives. We don't mean to. It's just by what we do and how we live that does so. But more than that, it's usually the way we are so used to this natural realm that causes it. And so I want to just touch base a little bit about these type things. One of the best insulators there is, the best, I'll just put it that way, the very best insulator of all is not rubber. You know, when you have wiring, you can got different types of insulation that go around that copper wire to protect it. And each one of them is rated for different things, such as, now this one's real good for heat. This one's rated for heat and from being broken down. It may have a plastic shield around the rubber coating. And this one is oil resistance and all the different types of things. But the best insulator is not any of those. The best insulator that you can ever find is the one the power company uses. It's called distance. Distance. None of their wires that you see going down through the countrysides or from transmissions or whatever, they don't have insulation on them. Because it's all going to get broken off anyway through the sunlight deteriorating, breaking down that insulation. They're all going to fall. But they know this, just that solid wire there, as long as it doesn't get within so many feet of the next one, we're okay. As long as nobody climbs up there and tries to touch both of them at the same time, everything is honky-dory. So distance is the best insulator. And that's the one thing that Satan has used with the church against the world is distance. Keep you distance from God. Keep you distance from the people of this world. That way, the spirit realm has no way of coming in contact with the physical realm. We sang that song a few minutes ago about heaven touching earth, or heaven invading earth. And God's chosen us to be the instruments for heaven to invade earth. And it's always been that way. To rule this place. Jesus is called the church to be that very one, to reveal all of this. To reveal back where we are actually created to live and to move and to have our very being. You know, as an electrician, I educated myself with these laws and could see when I came into the things of God, I saw the flow of how these laws pertaining to electricity also lined up with laws of the Spirit. And it made it real easy for me because, see, I couldn't see electricity. You can't see the spirit realm. Didn't mean it didn't exist. If you ever get lose sight of that, come see me. I'll make you become a believer. I'll let you get shocked. Then you'll say, I believe now. You don't have to be a doubting Thomas and say, I won't believe till I see. So, one thing I realized as an electrician, and I learned it many times, was the fact that you don't have to see it to experience it. There is that shock and awe. Or maybe say awesome. You know, it's awesome not to be shocked and be able to utilize things. The same is true in the realm of the Spirit. The Spirit realm is governed by laws as well. Bible says that God is a Spirit. Did it not? John 4:24 says God is a Spirit. We're made in His image and His likeness, and so we're spirit beings. We see that. The Bible reveals to us that there's other laws in the Bible, and it's called the law of love. There's a law of faith. There's a law of sowing and reaping. There's the law of works. There's the law of the mind. There's the law of sin and death. That's just to name a few laws. And if there's laws in the Bible, then it talks about those laws, that there must be something that there's different parts of it that affect the realm of this natural realm. That affects the realm of the Spirit. These laws govern these things. And so we need to understand, what are these laws? And the more we are able to understand and apply these laws, the better we are at navigating our life through the realm of the Spirit. Because we're going to live there forever. We're just passing through this little place. And one of the laws that we need to really grab a hold of and learn quickly is the law of faith, because the law of faith is more than what denomination do you attend or call yourself to be. The Bible tells us four times that the just, which is us, since we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, shall live by this law. What? Live by faith. It says that we're to live by faith. Well, what do we have faith in? Ourselves? This natural realm? No. We have faith in God's Word. So the just shall live by God's Word. Why? Because that's what you have faith in. Unless you see something, right? Unless you feel differently, unless you hear something differently. How many of you realize whether MSNBC and CNN, Fox News, somebody's wrong? I say they're probably all wrong, okay? But I will say this, that God's Word is true. And if I'm going to believe something, I choose to believe what He said more than what they say. Now, there may be some truth in what they say, and there may be some consequences, you know, that's going to take place on planet Earth because of what is taking place. But if I choose to believe what God said in the midst of it and really believe that and have faith in what He said, I may have to go through what they're saying, but I don't have to come out in the same place that everybody else is going to come out. Isn't that what happens in a recession? God's preparing us as a church locally here with the fact that there's some things coming down on planet Earth in our hometowns that's going to affect our nation, and we don't need to be caught unaware, nor do we need to be in fear of it. We should just smile and say, what an opportunity to allow the spirit realm to manifest itself here in the natural. How many of you have already experienced that before? Did you not experience it in the last recession? I'm not saying we're fixing to have one. I just know we're going to have one. It's just the way it is. Sooner or later, it takes place. It's just the way it works. So it doesn't make any difference whether Trump's in office or anybody else is in office. What matters is who's sitting in your throne. Where are you living? But see, your perspective on all of this can change if you're watching what they're telling you on TV more than you're watching what does God say in His Word. So we see in the Bible, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith, and we said that we have faith in what? God's Word. Come on, help me out. We have faith in what? Okay, so we could say, now God's Word is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We've already discussed the fact that if you don't see it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist, right? We do know that electricity exists, you didn't see it. Gravity exists, you don't see it. It existed all along. So now God's Word is the substance of things hoped for, things that you expect, the evidence, God's Word's the evidence of things not seen. Doesn't make any difference what the world sees. What matters is what does the Word say? For by it, by what? By God's Word, the elders obtain a good report. Through God's Word, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. My goodness, how much more plainer can it be? Is this just something that we do on Sunday? My goodness, shouldn't we get a hold of this on Monday and Thursday? And when your engine blows up on Friday and you got sick on Tuesday? I mean, shouldn't we understand this and grab a hold of this on those days? Otherwise, it's just a game. It's just an add-on to our life. Or is it that we're just more in tune to this natural realm? Our body, our flesh, than we are who we really are, the Spirit. Now, you don't get better at walking in the realm of the Spirit by staying where you are. This past week, we had a golf tournament up here at the Pines, here at the school. And we had the JV boys and girls and the varsity boys and girls. They all participated in it. And they won first place in all of them but the JV boys, and they lost by 1 point. They all did well. And while we were up there, people would say something to me about, they know I like to play, I just don't play a lot. And it doesn't matter how well you play. I mean, I just like to go. It's just relaxing to me. Some people might find it crazy to chase a little white ball. I just look at all the grass I didn't have to cut. And so I enjoy it. It's peace and quiet. It's pretty. It's, be able to just go out there, especially in the fall time when it's the right weather. I like to shoot in the 70s. I didn't say I shot in the 70s. I just like to go play in the 70s when it's 70 degrees, okay? So I'm out there. I like to do that. Well, somebody, I understand a few things about it, okay? Very little about golf do I really understand. You see, I'm more of one of those guys that basically... It's more of a best way to say it. Now, Carl plays well, Rusty, Orlando's real good also. But me, I've always had this hand-eye coordination thing from a little kid, okay? I can tell distances very well, how far to throw the stick, how much pressure to put on it, the arch that needs to go. I understand that. It just works in me. I'm just good at that. Always have been. And so when I go out there to play something like baseball, I understand about hitting the ball, meeting the ball, watching the ball hit the bat, even to the point to where I can even take my eyes off of it at times and still hit it. Why? Because I know where it's going to be. Unless it's a curveball, it may dip. But I understand those things. Well, golf is no different to me. I've gone out about playing golf. There's things that I've learned about playing golf. But I really have never learned how to play golf better than by hand and eye coordination. I've never had lessons to play golf. I've had people instruct me. I'm like, oh, okay. But when it gets right down to it, when I go and hit the ball or whatever, I do so by a few little instructions like watch Watch the club hit the ball. Don't lift your head up. You know, don't do this, don't do that. Learn those things. But other than that, I've never really gone beyond that part of my game. So as long as I practice or play, my game will always be at one particular point, you know, one place, okay? Let's just say I play 80, which I don't, but let's just say 80. I'm shooting 80. Now, I can do better than 80, but I'm going to have to change some things I do in order for it to be better than 80. Now, I can only get so good at doing what I continually do, because then you'll plateau and that's as good as it's ever going to be. Isn't that right? So you have to learn, okay, I can go out there to the driving range and hit every single day, and it's going to continually do the exact same thing because I'm continually doing the exact same thing. But if I choose to change my swing, change the way I grip my club, change the way I'm doing things, it will have an effect upon the ball and the way I play it. And usually at first, this perfection that's taking place to make it better shows up worse. In other words, I did right, but because I did right, I ended up with the results that I didn't like. And a lot of times we do that as people. Here's something that works better, yet we'll still go back and use the old method. Why? Well, we have more faith in it. We want immediate results. But if we'll continue with the change that we need to make, it will improve our game. So I'm out there and I'm talking to somebody and they said something about the game. I said, well, you know, I just never really have gone any farther than, you know, just my game. And it's because I do not want to take the time that it's going to take to change it. It's not about, do I not want to play better? It's not about shooting a lower score. None of that matters to me. It's about just being away in the time that matters to me. But if I really wanted to improve my golf game, it was going to require something of me, and it's called change. I'm going to have to stop what I'm doing that I'm getting a limited amount of success with and change it, and it's going to be awkward. I'm not going to be happy about it. It may be uncomfortable. It may make me feel bad or whatever. But it will improve my... Even Tiger Woods still has lessons today. Him? Yeah. He still has a coach. Why? Because there's more improvement that can be done. You can always improve. And if you'll do these things, you will be able to be more efficient and better. Well, you know, it's no different in the laws of the spirit realm. You're never going to get any better in walking in the realm of the Spirit than you are right now if you keep doing the exact same thing you've been doing for the last 40 years. Now, that's just being honest as we can be, is it not? If you're not happy with the results that you're getting living here according to God's Word, maybe you ought to change some of the things that you're doing. One of the things that I had to figure out the hard way, I didn't like it, but I still had to learn, was that was my speech, the words I spoke. Now, I said a few weeks ago that as individuals, that what makes us different than everybody else is we get to make a choice, and we choose. We choose the depth that we live in the spirit realm. We make that choice. We make that choice of how spiritually we're going to go. We make a decision of how much joy we're going to walk in. We make a decision on how much love we're going to love people. We make a decision on how all these things. We make that decision. I've made a decision. I'm not going to continue to improve my golf game. I'm just going to enjoy what I'm doing. Why? Because that's all I want to do with it is just enjoy it. I do not want to invest that time in a game chasing a little white ball. Because to me, it's not about chasing a little white ball. It's about me being out there just enjoying everything, spending time with God. It's quiet. It's refreshing. When I'm playing golf with God, He says, I'll drop another one, hit another one. Orlando's about as close to God as I know, because he'll tell me that if I mess up. Just drop another one, Pastor. I was talking or something. You know. I was thinking that, you know. It's like, I get to drop another because you was thinking? Yeah, going, okay. But it's not about the score. And I don't, you know, when I'm playing with God, he's, you know, it's like, we'll do another one. Why? Because however you end that particular one, you hit one in the woods, what you going to probably do the next time? Hit another one in the woods. What about the next time? Hit another one. Why? Because now you've gotten to a habit of doing that, and you're thinking that way and everything else. God will say, just hit it right there till you get it right. Don't ever quit with a bad one. And see, these are lessons that he's, just because you mess up in things of the spirit realm, don't stop now. You do it till it works. Are you getting any of this? I mean, why is it we will do that in the natural realm, but we won't do it in the realm of the spirit? So, like I said, we make the choice of how deep we're wanting to walk in the realm of the spirit, the realm that we've been created to walk in. And one of the things that the laws and the things that we had to learn, Marcia and I, that we had to change that we saw immediately, was the power of the words that we speak. That the words that we speak in this natural realm affect how we live in this natural realm. And, you know, I had that attitude of ain't nobody going to tell me how to talk. They should, but they didn't. You know, how many of you heard that? Well, ain't nobody going to tell me what to say. Well, I've been there. I understand that. You know, I just thought words were just words, didn't mean nothing. And you know what? That was just who I was. And then when people, I started reading and hearing about, the first time I heard about your confession, the words that you speak forth out of your mouth, I thought that was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard in my entire life. I thought these people are flat crazy. Till I found out what God had to say about it. When I found out what God had to say about it, then I had to reconsider how stupid it was. And I realized that the only stupid one was me. I'm not saying that you're stupid. I'm just saying that God has things to say about it, and I didn't believe what God had to say about it. Yet I would believe the laws of electricity and the laws of gravity. But I'm not going to believe what God's laws say about there being power in the words that we speak. And so when I began to see God's word and what it had to say about the things that I spoke, I had to make a decision. There's that decision again. I had to make a decision whether I'm going to believe God's word or am I going to believe what I want to believe? Am I going to believe what I think? Thank you for your enthusiasm. I think we're all feeling a little guilty right now, so it's kind of like, no, best be quiet. I started coming across scriptures in the Bible because I wanted to know about this. Do the words that I speak really matter? Proverbs 18:20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Really? A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with increase of his lips shall he be filled. Proverbs 18:20. Verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, I didn't know if this was a spiritual law or a physical law, because whatever you're eating there, whatever you're speaking is having an effect in this natural realm. But I did know this, that because of the words that I spoke, I was in a heap of trouble. If this was true, I was in a mess. If what I spoke really mattered, I knew the source of my trouble. It was me. Because what I spoke was sickness and failure, death, defeat, poverty, every day, all day. And what I listened to was sickness and death, defeat, failure, shame, poverty, every single day. I even sang about it. You know, when you're singing, you ought to be happy. I would sing the stupid songs of poverty. I went to see a guy the other day, thanks to Nate, named Charlie Daniels. And he had a song back in the old days, because he had a lifestyle similar to mine. And I could relate to it. And he had this song, it was, you know, he'd sing about being a long-haired country boy. And I know that some of y'all look at me and think, I don't believe that could be you. But it's been some time. And part of that song that we would sing with excitement would be, part of the verses was, I'm kind of like an old blue tick hound laying on in the shade. Really? I ain't got no money, but I've sure got it made. You know, some of the lyrics was, I get stoned in the morning, get drunk in the afternoon. You know, if you don't like the way I'm living, just leave this old long-haired country boy alone. And I just sing that song. It was like my national anthem. Guess what was happening to this boy? This is the way I lived. I didn't want to live this way, but I began to see these things. I'm like, if these verses are true, I am a heap of trouble. I know now that the reason I'm where I am is because of me. It's not the president. It's not the Congress. It's not my mom or my dad. It's not the lack of education. It's not anything but me. And I thought, well, surely this has got to be wrong. It can't be my fault. But I knew this too. When I got, like I said, I was saved and I was looking at this and I'm saying, well, you know, if my mouth got me in this mess, my mouth can get me out of it. I can be the prophet of my own life, then let me be the prophet that I should be. Let me start declaring the works of the Lord. Let me start declaring and believing that the seed, that His word that He planted inside of me is real. And that it's going to prosper. And it's going to do what it's been sent to do. God said His word does not return void. And if His word was sent inside of me, His word will not return void. I'll not have it. Because we do have a choice in it. Get over to Proverbs 21:23. Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. And I thought, well, there's a kick in the head. My soul's been tormented daily by my words. Maybe if I would just decide to watch my words, watch what I'm speaking forth, if there's really life and death in this power of this tongue, maybe a lot of my troubles would leave if I just shut up. Now over to Proverbs 10:19. If you don't like to hear any of this, stay out of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 10:19, he that refraineth his lips is wise. Well, I'm just telling it like it is. Yeah, that's right. You just keep talking it, it's going to stay just like that. Well, I'm telling it like it is today. Then if you'll be quiet and start doing, speak what God says, your life will change. Now, that's telling it like it is. You can sit over and say, I'm just telling it like it is. It don't work. Well, you get to choose which one you want it to be. It's working already in your life. Get over to Isaiah 57, verse 19. It says, I create the fruit of thy lips. I'm like, oh my God, I don't want the fruit of my lips. Because it continues, it says, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the God, I will be healed. And I'm like, if God's creating the fruit of my lips, man, that's bad. And so on one Wednesday night in the spring of 1980, someone came and ministered. I don't remember exactly who it was, at Liberty Church in Prattville, and they taught out of the third chapter of the book of James. And as I listened to him, something happened. I didn't listen to him. I don't really know what he had to say about it, but Holy Spirit talked to me. You'll allow me just a few minutes more. James 3:3 says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they're turned about with a very small hymn, whithersoever the governor listeth. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. A tongue, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things of the sea is tame, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue no man can tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. And out of the mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Do a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either vines or figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And as I read that, I saw God's word. The problem was me. I didn't understand this law, didn't believe in this law, but it didn't matter. The effects were still of this law in my life. And so I prayed that night. Because I had need, because when I read there, it says, no man can tame this tongue. And I'm like, well then God, what am I to do? What am I to do? I'm stuck here. I'm sitting on the fire. I'm setting on fire the course of nature with my tongue, and I have no rule over it. I mess up. I don't know what to do. He said, I didn't say that. I said, no man can tame it, but I didn't say Holy Spirit couldn't. And so I began to pray. Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, I give you entrance into my life. I want you to correct me every single time I use my tongue incorrectly. I do not want to live my life like this. You have given me this tongue to use to speak forth life, declare destiny, to cause heaven to come here on earth, for earth to be able to encounter the realm of the Spirit. And I choose to use it properly, but I need your help. So if you will, but remind me and show me each time, then I'll make the choice to fix it. I'll do my best. I'll repent. I'll do whatever I need to do. And so the very next day he did. He started on me right then. Just that quick. Revealing it. And I was excited that he did so. I mean, how many of you like get happy when the Holy Spirit gets on to you? I mean, it was gentle and it was nice. I was thrilled. He kept his word. He's going to help me with this. And then I went on farther and I saw in the words where Jesus spoke. He said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. That just broke my heart. Because, see, I realized that all these things that I'm saying is what's really inside of me. That's who I really am. And it says, out of the good treasures, a man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good fruit. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth evil fruit. And it goes on and says, and the out of the abundance of this heart, your mouth speaks. And I thought, oh, what a wretched man that I am. How sorry am I? Listen to this trash that's coming out of me. This is who I am. And I said, no, that's not who I am. I'm going to change that. And the reason I was speaking it was because that's who I saw myself as. And I saw this. I believed it. I heard these things of Christianity, but I was still living this because apparently this is what I believed. Because that's what kept coming out. So you got good at it. You won't talk that way in church. Not talking like that at church means that you're just putting on a show. I wanted to know, God, what's it going to take to get better at this? He says, a life change. Changing of the way you think. Changing of who you are. I'm like, yes, sir. Well, you know, we got to trust what we don't see in order to do that. I kept reading on in the Bible there, and I'm seeing where God says that we're going to be judged by every idle word that comes out of our mouth. And as the words that we speak will either justify us or condemn us. And I'd lived under enough condemnation of the words that I spoke. I said, you know, I don't want to do this no more. Are y'all getting anything? But just because you don't see the words, the laws, or whatever, whether it be electricity or gravity, doesn't change the fact that there's laws pertaining to the realm of the spirit that have an effect upon this law or the laws of this planet. And when I see that Jesus, the one I say is my Savior, say that the words that I speak matter, then I have to make a decision. Just how far am I willing to walk and live in the realm of the Spirit? I have to make a decision, just like you this morning. Some of y'all are probably sitting there thinking, going to have to make a decision. Am I just going to counsel this out and throw this out as, oh, Pastor, it was just on one of those days? Or is this truth that I have to deal with? I'm looking at it. Because there'll come a day when we stand back and we'll have to give an account for this day. What did we hear? We say, well, Lord, I just didn't know. He said, yeah, you did. Come here. Remember that bald-headed preacher was down there and he was telling you about this? And you chose to forget it and pass it off as foolishness? Could have changed your life right then, starting that moment, if you just chose to believe what the Word said instead of what the five physical senses are telling you or the TV media of the day. And it's not about making a good confession and a bad confession. It's about what's in your heart, because that's what's really going to come out. That's just one law here on this planet. It governs the natural realm, the words that we speak. That's what he said. But it's a spiritual law as well. And we have to really take it into consideration. Okay, what am I going to do with this? This is not what I intended to do this morning, but I thought, well, since we're here, we'll just go with it. But we're still talking about the spirit realm. We're going to pick up again next week because, see, I made mention of one thing that I really want to get to next week. And that was the fact that I cried out to the Holy Spirit and said, Holy Spirit, I need your help. I need your help. How am I going to walk through this spirit realm that keeps manifesting itself as a natural realm? I see in the natural here, but I know that the Spirit exists. And that's what's really taking place. And all this natural will one day be gone. And I can live in the Spirit realm, like you said. So how do I navigate my life through this natural realm down here? Jesus said this. He says, I know you need help. And I'm going to send him. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to guide you and be your guide and your teacher and your comforter. And I'm going to show you, because you need more than anything else to be able to guide yourself, navigate yourself through this natural realm. You need help. So he sent one that was here. This already been to the end of your life. He knows. He's not new at this. And he can guide you through every bit of this if you'll but yield yourself and say, I need help. With every head bowed and eye closed, nobody looking around. This morning, you may be thinking to yourself, I need help. I need this. It's simple. Just a simple prayer. And all you have to do is pray it and believe it in your heart and mean it with all your heart. And if you would, just pray it with me. Holy Spirit, help me navigate my life through this natural realm according to the realm of the Spirit. I choose life. I choose you. I believe right now you're going to help me. Not once, but every day from here on. I give you my permission to interfere in my life, to take over my life, speak to me about every issue. Father God, I love you. I love Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Simple as that. If you really meant that with your heart, you can expect Holy Spirit to start talking to you immediately. He won't be condemning you and beating you in the head. He'll just say, well, you know, I can live where you are just as well as I can live somewhere else, but you can sure do a lot better. So if you choose to do that, just know that there's going to be some changes in your game. Okay? Golf game's got to have changes if you want it to be better. There's laws everywhere. This is one of those laws. Just embrace Holy Spirit. We're going to get back on the Holy Spirit because that's what's changed Marcia and I's life. I went from a place of doing the best I can, being the gatherer, some of y'all may remember that, to stepping over here with the Holy Spirit into the supernatural realm, being able to tap in. That comes through Holy Spirit. We'll start on that next week. Y'all be blessed. If you're having any trouble with your knee, I think it's your right knee, I want to pray for you, if you would come on up. If you have need of any other type of prayer, I want to get in agreement with you according to God's Word. If not, we'll be dismissed. Monday night, we have prayer, 7 o'clock. See y'all later.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.